Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 this morning. The righteous of the right hand. What a strange title. But I think it will become less strange as you read the context with me. We're going to read several verses this morning. I'll tell you what let's do. Now, I know you've stood for the entire singing. You up to standing for the reading of the Word of God this morning? We don't do this all the time, just once in a while, just to honor the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. But let's just stand this morning as we read the Word together. And my, what a message we're going to get from the Word here this morning. Matthew 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these, the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You may be seated. Thank you. Who are these righteous who are separated from the rest, who stand at Jesus' right hand? We know that they are those who fed the hungry. He tells us that. We know that they are those who clothed the naked. He tells us that. We know that they are those who visited the sick and those in prison and more. We know who they are, but a bigger question arises from all this. How did they become righteous? Did they become righteous by doing these things? Or did they do these things because they were righteous? These two groups are also referred to as the wicked and the just in the Scriptures. In Matthew 13:49, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." The world has a pretty standard view of who they consider to be righteous. Men naturally assume that a person who consistently does right deeds, right things, right decisions, that person is righteous. Even if he only does mostly right things, he is generally still called righteous unless he crosses them personally or does something they particularly judge as being wrong, and then they call him a hypocrite. Lost people say that there are too many hypocrites in church. I disagree. By their definition, I don't think there are nearly enough hypocrites in church. Did you know that by the standards of natural man, all real Christians are considered to be hypocrites? Did you know that? All real Christians freely admit that to sin is to do wrong. Do we not? Of course we do. They also freely admit, although not proudly, that we all do sin, even every day. The world says that to speak against something that you yourself do makes you a hypocrite. So, brothers and sisters, in the eyes of the world, you and I are indeed hypocrites. So, are they right? What do you think? The world says that the people who do righteous things are righteous. The Bible says that people who are righteous do righteous things. Isn't that the same thing? I'm getting that blank stare. I'm going to say that again. The world says that people who do righteous things, feed the hungry, help the poor, that sort of thing, that they are righteous. The Bible says that people who are righteous also do righteous things. Is that the same thing? No, it's not, is it? Not really. My hope is that you will see the difference between those two before you leave here today. This is an essential difference. It's one that will determine at which of the Lord's hands you will stand in the final judgment. The difference that I'm talking about is going to make all the difference. I would say all the difference in the world, but it's a lot bigger than that. It's going to make all the difference for you. So let's see if we can actually understand this essential difference. First of all, who are the unrighteous? Well, according to the Scriptures, that would be everyone. I'll give you a few. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." You know anyone that's not a sinner that's old enough to know what it is? Thankfully, the little babies. I guess that's why everybody loves babies so much. They're just innocent. But they're like puppies. They don't stay little, do they? Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Zero. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each and every one to his own way." Identifying the unrighteous is one of the biggest subjects in the Scriptures. I don't know if you realize this or not. More than 300 times in the Scriptures, the life, the nature, the deeds, and the ultimate end of the wicked are pointed out to us more than 300 times in the Scriptures. I'll give you a couple of examples. Job 21:30. "That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth unto the day of wrath." Psalm 37:21. "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." Does anyone here have a less than perfect credit score? Think we qualify as unrighteous? 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." By the way, the day is coming that it will be illegal for me to read that to you. Just a thought. That's where it's going. Does anyone here ever commit any of these sins? One thing is certain. Those who will someday stand at the Lord's left hand will not be able to say, "Lord, you didn't tell me what I was facing." No, the Lord over and over and over again tells us exactly what we're facing. Also in the hundreds of Scriptures, the life and the manner of the righteous and the wicked are contrasted the one to the other. Hundreds of times. Proverbs 3:33, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just." You see that contrast there laid out for us? 2 Peter 2:7, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." See the contrast. Proverbs 10:16, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin." Malachi 3:18, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." The unrighteous have clearly been informed as to who they are. If, as we have now read numerous times, all have sinned, all are unjust, unrighteous, and sinners, where then did all these just and righteous people come from? The Lord talks about them in hundreds of verses of Scriptures. How'd they get that way? Where did they come from? This leads us to ask then, so who are the righteous? We know who the unrighteous are. Who are these righteous people? We have read who they are as identified by what they do. Did they somehow make themselves righteous? How about you? Are you trying to somehow make yourself righteous? That's not the most popular thing to be doing today in our world, but there are a lot of people trying to do that. Most religion in practice is nothing more than an organized system of men trying somehow to make themselves righteous. That's what most religion is. How's that working for you? How are you doing with that? 1 John 1 and verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 and verse 10 says that we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Isaiah 64:6 says that we are all as an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's a question asked in Proverbs 20 and verse number 9. The Lord says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Who can say that? I don't see anybody here with their hand up. In Job 40 and verse number 6, the Lord Himself spoke to Job concerning this same subject matter. It said, "Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is a proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then," God said, "then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee." God kind of puts this in perspective, doesn't He? I've got good news and bad news this morning. The bad news is that no, you are not righteous. Furthermore, there is nothing that you can do that will make you righteous. You cannot make yourself righteous. The good news is that Jesus can. Are you listening? I said the good news is that Jesus can. He can make you righteous. Although what the Lord has already done for us is enormous, He can and will do even more. He's got more ahead for all of us. The Lord Jesus, who is God Himself in flesh, has already paid for all your sins. Past, present, future, all your sin. 1 Corinthians 15 Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." That goes right over our heads sometimes. The fact that Christ died for our sins is the biggest information that you've ever gotten in your entire life. That's the biggest piece of information you're ever going to get. That Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The grave could not hold the one that died for my sin. Death and hell could not hold the one that died for my sins. He rose for me. And He is here for me. When sinners believe, that means when they put their trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus as the payment of their sins, their position is changed before God. They are counted, the Bible says, as righteous. Romans 4, verse number 5, "But to him that worketh not, to him that quits trying to make himself righteous, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You can be counted righteous by the Lord. They're declared righteous. In Romans 3, verse 21, we have some really good news here. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a complete atonement, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." The one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and that's before He made the sun, by the way, will declare you righteous if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says righteousness is imputed to them who put their faith in Christ. Romans 4:22, "Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You get to be included in the imputed righteousness. Placing God's perfect righteousness on your account, the account by which you will face God in judgment. And they are moved from the left hand to the right hand. Psalm 18:35, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up." Placing your trust in Jesus, in His shed blood, as having paid your debt of sin, will position you in Christ. It will cause God to count you righteous like He did for Abraham. It will cause God to declare you righteous as He has done for all who have trusted Jesus to save them before you. It will move you to His right hand in the judgment. It is enough to take you to heaven when you die. It will take you out from under the condemnation of the law. Romans 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And brothers and sisters, my prayer to God for you today, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, is that you might be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Putting your trust in Jesus removes you from the condemnation of the law. and set you free in Jesus Christ. Upon your account can be placed the perfect righteousness of God. You will face God depending on your own righteousness, or you will face God depending on His. What will it be? Positional righteousness in Christ will get you to heaven. But the Lord has more.